Chapter 5 In Which I Meet a Neighbor. After my magic trick with the timber, the houses in the village nearly flew up. There were plenty of willing hands, hammers, and 2 kegs of nails, and the cold north wind was all the incentive the Bovarli needed. When work stopped 2 days later, it was because we had run out of nails, not because we lacked wood. We wouldn't lack for lumber for a while. The timbermen were doing an excellent job of bringing down more wood to the commons, and it only took me 3 or 4 hours to knock the logs into lumber. In 3 days, the first thatchings were done on the new homes, and by the end of the week, the first 3 were being lived in. The gatehouse and the drawbridge also got immediate attention. So did some of the desperately needed repairs to the keep. That made me feel better, simply because a drawbridge you can't draw is just a bridge, and a good lord did not slack on the defences of his domain, or he wasn't a lord long. There was actually quite a lot to this nobility stuff that I hadn't anticipated, and I was feeling a bit out of my element. Lady Arden gave me a crash course, but that had mostly dealt with my responsibilities towards my subjects and towards the duchy. The tutoring hadn't included a lot of the stuff that the nobility know just because they were raised to know it, and I kept tripping over those things. Sir Kay brought up one problem as we headed out to tour Gurusam and other points, which had kindly taken in 3 Bovarli families. "There is the matter of your device, my lord," Sir Kay was telling me as we took our tour. In the 5 weeks we had been here, there had been a lot of progress, but it seemed achingly slow. "His Grace has granted you arms along with your estate, but you have yet to choose them. It would be prudent if the Lord of Sevendor had a recognizable badge." "I suppose it would," I admitted, watching 2 husky young men from Westphalia lifting a heavy block into place with long levers as we left the inner bailey. I was tempted to assist them with magic, but I know how irritated I get when I am given help without consultation, so I decided to leave well enough alone. "What were the original arms of Sevendor?" "Before the lands and title came into dispute, the original arms were 3 ravens over a mountain. A simple device for a simple country knight." "So it is. Yet not quite sufficient for the first mage lord in living memory. How about ravens with stars?" "Too similar to the lords of Ficwin, I'm afraid," he pointed out. "Ravens with wands? Very much like the arms of House Vorakuna of Tandoria in Ramir," he said, a trace of a smirk crossing his face, "descended from the last Imperial Mage Lords and fiercely proud of it." "Ravens with a tower? The arms of the Baron of Dassel, my lord," he said patiently. "Ravens with arrows? House Homborus of Southern Alshar. With axes? Sir Dalt of Congreria on Blin in the Remiran Delta." "Roses?" I asked desperately. Sir Kay shook his head sadly. He was enjoying this. "I believe one of the knights of the Roseling Hall line have the honour of that device." "Fine," I finally said, frustrated. "I don't like the current political symbolism anyway. I'll keep thinking about it. Maybe Alia has some suggestions. Mage Lord, we must find some symbol for your lands," he insisted. "I think using the plural might be overstating it a tad," I grumbled. "One crappy village, 2 crappy hamlets, 1 even crappier castle. My lord could always extend his lands through conquest," he pointed out airily. "Indeed, we must, to recapture Brestal. After that..." He trailed off meaningfully. "Not any time soon," I snorted. 4 dozen peasant militia and 30 real soldiers hardly make for a conquering host. Besides, which of my neighbours would I go after?" "Sir Gimbal of Westphalia, actually," Sir Kay said mildly. "He's the one who took Brestal, to give a bastard son of his a fief a few years ago. Or Lord Trefalin of Sashtalia. He was a good friend of Sir Erental. Indeed, the forest on the other side of the North Ridge was once owned by Sevendor, but lost in a dispute with House Sashtalia over 3 generations ago. Needless to say, Sir Erental did nothing to reclaim it for the estate." "How about our third neighbour, the Lord of Trestendor?" Sir Kay looked at me in surprise. The poor thief in the hills, just on the other side of the West Flarian Gap? I learned a bit about him when I was passing through. Sire Sigelin of Trestendor. His holding is smaller than Sevendor, if you add Brestal back in. He used to have more of it, but he had a long-running border dispute with West Flaria over a crossroads village on their common border, Ferendor village. Or did, until Lord Trefalan and Sire Gimbal conspired to attack it, burned it to the ground one night, and split the land between their realms 10 years ago, when Gimbal first came into his estate. Then Gimbal took the domain of Gosset from him within weeks. Ouch, I winced. I remembered that burned-out village just inside Sashtalia. That's an ambitious start. It occurs to me that oft does a young lord, newly come into his inheritance, seek to improve it through conquest. Within a year of his investment, so I have been told, he took the cadet fief his brother gave him and added 3 domains to it. Since then he has taken 5 more, not including Brestholm. Ambitious indeed. And it occurred to me that knights like to gossip like old hens around a quilt. Trestendor has had little time for meddling in Sevendor's affairs, but they might prove an ally some day, against Sir Gimbal if needed. There's likely enmity there, at least, but few swords. I trusted Sir Kay's judgment on such matters. That's why I paid him. We might not need them. If we retake Brestal this spring, what do you think the chances are that he'd just let it pass? I could not say, Mage Lord, but it occurs to me that a man who has already conquered several of his neighbours is unlikely to allow such a slight to pass unanswered. It would make him seem weak, and he would lose the respect of his vassals. Nor would his liege likely permit it, even if it would amuse him. His brother, I remembered, Vulric, the Baron of East Flaria. Technically the Baron of all of Flaria, Sir Kay corrected, as we finished our rounds back at the gatehouse, which looked like a proper military post now, instead of a banded squat. But when their father divided the realm to keep them from killing each other, Gimbal insisted on near-total independence, and began calling his brother's lands East Flaria. He pays only a token tribute and rules West Flaria as he was himself a baron. You seem awfully well informed for a country knight from the Mindens, I noted, as we rode through the outer bailey. On the south wall there were 4 or 5 little cots, each with a garden plot. North of the road was rocky and wooded, covered in blackberry briars. I spent 3 days in the river port before you arrived, Mage Lord. He reminded me, a few coppers worth of wine can reveal volumes of history, provided it crossed the right tongue. I listened more than I spoke. It occurred to me that I should become familiar with the region, if I was to administer a part of it. We're going to have to take back Brestal, I sighed, pulling my cloak back around me as I got to the bottom of the ladder. Your honour demands it, he said apologetically. But when we do, we're going to start a war with the local bully, I reasoned, a bully with an even more powerful big brother. It seems unavoidable, Mage Lord, he agreed. So my very first year of nobility, I'm going to have to fight a feudal war and endanger the domain I just got as a reward. It behooves a lord to defend his own, he agreed, and a good knight always seeks a challenge. But not all is as gloomy as it seems. Rumour says that the Baron of East Flaria hates his brother so badly that he'd swear the sun with the moon to spite him. So if we retook Brestal Vale, it is possible that he'd receive no help from his liege to reclaim it. I'm starting to think I'm not going to like Sire Gimbal, I said thoughtfully. He sounds like the worst kind of noble. According to the natives, he is not well loved. Sire Kay smirked. He rules resolutely, and he's willing to take what he wants. Sire Gimbal, from what Raylan has told me, has long coveted this land. Indeed, Raylan spoke almost admiringly of the man, although compared to Sir Erenthal, I can see why. Sire Gimbal would have taken it when he took Brestal, if that would not have brought the fury of the duchy down on him. But that is no longer a concern for him. Over the years he has used intimidation, raids, and threats to gain 7 or 8 estates along his borders, as well as the crossroads village of Trestendor's, Gosset. and his men have been hunting in the eastern quarters of Sevendor for years, without anyone's leave," Sir Kay said mildly. I knew what Sir Kay was getting at. A lord who could not defend his lands from such unauthorized use would soon gain a reputation for weakness. Good to know, I agreed. As soon as my castle is complete, I'll unleash the full force and might of my army upon them, I said, as we walked past the dirty square in front of the keep styled the Parade Ground. Forando was trying to get his men to go through the most basic of drills, and one of the Sevendori natives kept dropping a spear. I tried to imagine them ruthlessly scaling the walls of an enemy keep, and presented the idea to Sir Kay. We both shared a laugh at that. The attitudes of my neighbours would have to be addressed sooner or later. Sevendor had escaped much abuse due to its indeterminate status, but now that there was a sitting lord without a nearby liege to come to his aid, the two rowdy knights to either side of me would start probing my lands soon enough. I was almost looking forward to it, actually, once my baby was safely birthed and my castle walls were rebuilt. Until then, I'd just have to keep an eye on things myself. We continued going over the long, long list of projects that we had undertaken to bring the fief back to life as we headed out of the keep. In 5 short weeks, we had actually gotten a lot accomplished. But like most worthwhile projects, every time we thought we had a problem solved, it produced 3 new problems. As I had our horses saddled up for the day's business, Sir Kay ran over some of the new problems. One issue was how the original Sevendori villagers were coping with the scores of odd-sounding expatriate Bovali inhabiting their village commons. Not that the villagers were hurting. Since my arrival, they had enjoyed an unprecedented amount of prosperity. But they were an insular people by nature, despised and derided in the surrounding fiefs as stupid, lazy and slow, thanks to Erentar's neglect. Now they had to deal with total strangers who had grand ideas about their future, and they just weren't happy about it. There had already been one little scuffle over grazing rights on the commons, and by Yule there was likely to be more, as more Bovali families would be arriving to join those already here. The plain fact was, Sevendor Village was just not going to be big enough to accommodate all of those folk, not until it had been substantially built up. Even then, we couldn't keep them all in one place. We had to split them up. That was where we were starting the tour today. We rode through the newly repaired gate and over the drawbridge, both of which would be completely replaced before I deemed the castle finished, and eastward through the bare earthen track that led to the village proper. I acknowledged the number of bowed heads I saw with a self-conscious wave. I was learning. We took the road through Sevendor Village up towards Gurisham Hamlet, and past a work levee building a circle of low, simple, half-buried wattle and daub huts that would allow folks to stay warm during the rest of the winter. Each one was a primitive affair, dirt floors and Poland thatch roofs, but they would stay dry and warm, theoretically. Our real goal wasn't the shelters as much, but to inspect the land and survey the site of the old village near the frontier with Breston Vale, near the ruin of Hyre's Tower. Actually, on the other side of the frontier, a half mile past the misplaced boundary stone. We talked along the way, each step of the journey suggesting hundreds of possibilities for the future. An inn near the road, perhaps, or a willow grove in a marshy area. We were headed for the entrance to the Vales, however. The site of the old village, on the northern side of the big mountain in the middle of my domain, was already level, had a good well, and was close to where our eventual frontier would be. Our ultimate purpose was to establish a whole new village where the Bovali could settle without disturbing the native Sevendori overmuch, possibly even a proper manor house. Sir Kay was becoming a better companion on such tours than I would have thought, and he had already repaid my trust in his abilities as Castellan 100 times. He was good at finding solutions to problems that didn't cause an administrative nightmare. I'm more of a follow-me kind of leader, which frequently gets me in trouble. So, tell me about this scuffle in the village. It was nothing, Mage Lord, really. More of a misunderstanding than anything, he demurred. A matter of goats and chickens. No real blood was shed, and I sorted out the dispute. Still, I don't like it, I said, shaking my head. I don't want to have to keep them separate. They have to share the valley, after all. But I don't want the natives to think that they're being displaced either. We aren't going to get a new village started soon enough to keep more problems from arising. Perhaps the yeomanry could use a shake-up, suggested Sir Kay after some thought. If we were to move the rest of the native Sevendori peasants to Genli, say, with generous stipends, then the additions in the village could progress without the conflicts. Wouldn't they object to all leaving their homes in the village? I asked, concerned. Sir Kay scowled. Have you seen those stinking hovels? He asked pointedly. Sir Arental had established a ban on harvesting timber for domestic use, so they're mostly mud and thatch, barely suitable for beasts. Hovel is too polite a term. Give them each an additional 3 acres in the open fields and a few silver pennies, and they would vacate the village before the words die in your throat. The first Sevendor villagers who move to Genli are the envy of the hamlet. And that would free up more room for new Bovali, I noted. That is not a bad idea, I nodded, impressed. The Mage Lord continually astonishes me with his keen observations, Sir Kay said dryly. Do you think Raylan the Steady would take a demotion like that? The Reeve of Sevendor Village will do as the Mage Lord of Sevendor Domain instructs him, Sir Kay replied, as if there was never any doubt. His happiness in the matter is not a concern. Still, Raylan is about as close to a unifying figure as the Sevendori have. I don't want to piss him off any more than I have to. What if we built him a residence? The nicest one in Genli. That wouldn't take much, I quipped, and grant his yeomanry the right to mine clay from the riverbank, in addition to the grain revenues, he suggested. We don't even have a potter yet, I pointed out. The soil is too cold to mine in winter anyway, Sir Kay countered, but this summer it will not be, and the clay is of sufficient quality, I am told, to have a market. Should it prove lucrative, then a monopoly on mining it would be likewise lucrative, and that would satisfy Raylan's hurt feelings. Money does that, I agreed, as our horses began to climb the gentle slope of road that led to Gurisam. Feel him out on the subject. Let him know that any Sevendori villager who wants to make the move will get help building a house, 3 acres in the common fields, as well as 2 goats and 5 chickens. Sir Kay paused. That seems like an abundance of fowl, my lord. I like eggs, I reasoned. As the Mage Lord wishes, he said non-committally. Sevendor has 7 yeomanries, but there is plenty of room for more. Bovall Vale, the far western valley that Kay had administered before it had become the center of a new goblin empire, had been replete with yeomen. Indeed, it had been one of the ways the old Lord Kusi had populated the remote valley, by promising land and rights to enterprising peasants. Melin, Winnacore, and plenty of other estates had been cared for by his deputies. We could easily set 6 new yeomen from the Bow Valley, Sir Kay pointed out, as we rode through Gurisam Hamlet. I waved at some kids and threw a few pennies. The kids just looked at me dumbly. I don't think they had ever seen real money before. I have the fellows in mind who would be best, I agreed, and we can elevate another 7 Dori if we have to. To do that, and raise their status thusly, would go far to alleviate the need to keep my subject separate and peaceful. Likely my countrymen would object to taking residence in those huts as they are, but they will do in this mild clime until they can be rebuilt well enough. Compared to a Bovali winter, this has been almost pleasant, the knight observed, looking at the overcast sky. Our people won't have a problem with that, at least. It is pleasant, I agreed. What's next? The new blacksmith, Goodman Gowell, is also due to arrive by Yule. 'Twould be nice if he had a shop ready to conduct business in. I am having a forge built on the western edge of Sevendor, near to the bridge, for him. That way he can service either castle or village as needed. I concur. Make it happen. The Mage Lord is wise, Kay murmured. The Mage Lord is learning, I corrected. We continued our ride past the real houses and came to the Gurisam Commons, a small, mostly level, grassy field where the villagers could graze their goats and sheep. I saw another knot of kids. I threw another handful of coppers. These were older, and apparently knew about money, because they scrambled for it in the cold dirt. I saw one of the older boys grab a copper sliver out of the hand of his younger brother, and stopped my horse. "Yo!" I called out in my best lordly voice. "Come here." The boy, no more than 10, approached me wide-eyed, his brother even more wide-eyed behind him. The 10-year-old gave a rough bow. The brother, about 7, probably, just stood there. Both were as dirty as any peasant kid ever gets. "What is your name, son?" I asked quietly.
"Feleg, lord,"
he squeaked. "Feleg, I am the new lord of Sevendor, Mage Lord Minolin. Do you understand what that means?" He nodded gravely. He was frightened, but he wasn't running. "That means that my word is law here," I growled. While that wasn't precisely true, I ruled in the name of the Duke and enforced his laws first. It was true enough as far as Feleg was concerned, and if I toss a copper to a child, I fully expect that child to keep it. "I detest bullies," I said severely. He shrank. "But I'm also a pretty forgiving lord," I added. "Now that we've had this talk, I don't expect we'll ever have to have it again, will we?"
"Nay, my lord,"
he said, swallowing hard. "You may keep your penny as a reminder of that. As for your brother?"
"Nat, short for Nat Gig."
"Well, little Nat there gets a whole silver penny for his trouble today," I said, tossing it to the boy. The glint of silver in the winter sun was unmistakable, and rare enough to these poor folk as to be legendary. He scrabbled it out of the dirt and clutched it triumphantly in his hand. "I would be very concerned if young Nat didn't keep his new riches," I said to the children at large, "for while I am a forgiving lord, I am also a just lord, and pray you never have to face my justice," I said, and added a loud flashing cantrip at the end for effect. I made my point. The kids squealed and scattered, all except Nat and his brother Feleg. The latter was eyeing me suspiciously.
"You're really a mage?"
he asked, as if my rank didn't matter. Hells, to a 10-year-old, how could it? "I am really a mage lord," I agreed, "the first in 4 centuries.
"And you rule Sevendor now?"
he asked, as if he were still sceptical. "Not all arse-face Erenthal." I had to chuckle at his apt description. "I truly do," I assured him, "my lady beside me." He gave me an even more searching look.
"I guess you'll do,"
he grunted, and led his brother, who was still staring at his coin, away to tell his parents. Sir Kay and I continued through the hamlet toward the ruins. "Very well done, my lord," he murmured when we were out of earshot. "You have made a powerful impression on them today. It is best if a lord is seen frequently, but does not overstay his welcome. Always leave their hearts longing for more." "That doesn't seem like a lot of fun," I grumbled, "and that was just a bit of showing off for the kids. I doubt I'd be so bold with their parents." "Being a noble is really fun," he pointed out. "It might seem so from a commoner's perspective, but a noble should always feel the burdens of his office before he seeks his own pleasures. You have a higher duty now, sire." "So I'm learning," I sighed. "But that was fun. Good peasant relations. And don't tell me the family couldn't use the arms. Besides, they're going to have a whole brand new village just over that rise come spring. That's going to put some stress on this place." We talked a while more about the plans for the village, and then we came to the far end of the hamlet's commons, where the land fell off a little. I stopped us at the top of the rise, so we could overlook the big mount in the centre of the vale. Actually, it was the main reason Brestall and Sevendor weren't one valley. Compared to the surrounding peaks, it was small and cute, but it rose at least 500 feet over the next highest hill in the vale, and was capped with a firm crown of mostly bare rock, 300 feet wide at the top. The lower slopes were either forested or pasture lands. "That rock is just begging for some adornment," I said, finally. "Why wasn't the castle built there? It seems like a naturally defensible point." "It would be if Sevendor Castle's position wasn't better," Sir Kay reminded me. "Here you could be surrounded by armies on all sides. There you have the cliffs to your back, and need face them on only three sides. A good point, I conceded. Still, I just have to put something there. A watch tower, perhaps? He nodded. From that point you could see through the frontier lands deep into West Flaria. Not a bad idea, I said, not totally convinced. Right now it's the border of my domain, and it should be the centre of my domain. That bothers me. We continued down the road until it re-forded the stream before it ran through the gap into Flaria. I've been thinking about this, I said thoughtfully. We do need a mill. Not a huge mill, but a mill would be good for the Vale, and so would a mill pond. Most importantly, it would act as a reservoir. I'm thinking we put it on the west side of Sevendor village, in front of the castle. We raise it level with the wide bank of the floodplain and create a pond. About 6-8 acres, eventually, I think. Intriguing plan, Mage Lord, Sir Kay agreed thoughtfully. That will take considerable effort, however. A few hundred men, a few dozen oxen, wagon loads of soil and rock. Or two really good wizards with witch stones, I reminded him. I was going to have Rondal and I do the hard parts when he gets here at Yule, moving boulders and such. He's good with earth magic. But the pond will not only have enough fall for a real mill, the water will work well as irrigation for the upper fields. I think lack of water is one reason this dusty vale hasn't performed well. The soil is poor, my lord, Sir Kay reminded me. That will have to be addressed as well. Yes, well, I can't magically crap everywhere yet, so we'll have to deal with that after we have adequate water supplies, I grumbled. Sir Kay studied the terrain and made a few suggestions, which I countered as we continued down the increasingly rough road. On either side were empty, increasingly overgrown fields. It was a long, fallow stretch of marginal land. Once those fields had been prosperous, or at least a step above subsistence level, now they were choked with weeds and small trees, unused for a generation. If I had my way, they would be planted by canny Bovali farmers by next year. We had gone about a half mile from the village when I stopped at a rough patch between the fallow lands and an overgrown sloping pastureland on the north side of the road. The rough area was only a few hundred feet wide, a little raised above the road level and rocky. We had crossed the misplaced borderstone 100 yards back. And what shall the mage lord place here? Sir Kay asked patiently as he slipped his horse a carrot. I'm thinking a shrine, I answered, or perhaps a temple. I know you, Bovali, don't hold much with priests, but a real temple would inject some very useful skills into the estate. A priestess of Briga, Luin, or one of the other folk gods, perhaps. Trig, Huin, even. Keep your eyes out for a likely candidate. Maybe more than one. I shall make a note, Mage Lord, he agreed. The prohibition against temples was the idea of Sire Kusi's house. Where I grew up in Gans, there were several shrines and a temple. I had always encouraged Sire Kusi to reconsider, for precisely the reasons you name. But he said he had his reasons. A small shrine would be most welcome in this desolate land. I grunted, wondering how sincere he was being. 5 weeks working with him on a daily basis, and I still didn't know when he was joking. We continued along for another half hour, through ostensibly foreign territory, until we came to the ruins. I had seen the ruins of the old village on the eastern end of the fief when we'd first arrived. Sire Gimbal had put it to the torch during his conquest of Brestal. It was a good location for a hamlet, better than most of Sevendor boasted, really, with clean water closer at hand and plenty of arable land gone fallow around it. Whoever the lordling in Brestal was, he hadn't done much with this stretch of his ill-gotten fief. None of the original buildings still stood, but there were 2 or 3 stone foundations that could be recovered, given sufficient effort and money, and spaces for dozens more. It could easily hold a lot of our refugees. The ruined border town on the eastern side of the road would also have to be repaired and put to proper use, after I recovered Brestal. But as I stared out at the border with West Flaria, 1,000 feet away and marked only by a roughly shaped rock, I couldn't help but wonder when Sire Gimbal would decide to burn it down again. I began to get angry at losing a village that wasn't yet built to a man who wasn't yet at war with me over a fief I had yet to regain. "Let's start with the guard tower," I muttered to myself. "What?" asked Kay, as he rode behind me. "Before we nail one stick to another on the new village, let's rebuild the guard tower. Nothing elaborate, just 2 or 3 stories, to keep the Flareans from just walking back in. Just an outpost at first, where a few men could shelter a beast or two, and rain down arrows on anyone who dares enter my domain. Why, Mage Lord Minolin, you sounded positively bloodthirsty just then," Sir Kay said appreciatively. "Just anxious to protect my investment," I replied matter-of-factly. "We can use the old foundations and build it up with lumber until we can get dressed stone. Something a little more substantial than the bell tower in Minden's Hall, but not much. Not yet. But I want to be able to billet a full guard detail there constantly. This is our frontier, or it will be, and the most natural point of defence of the Vale. The gap between the ridges is only 250-300 feet wide. Once we recover the rest of what is rightfully ours, I want it and my people protected." "The Mage Lord is replete with wisdom," agreed Sir Kay. "I think we might be able to begin work on both the tower and the first homes concurrently, once we retake the estate. But is that not selling the honey before the bees have come back to the hive?" We were riding out towards the border when we heard the noise. The sound of someone or something rushing through the brush, and then the sound of dogs and horses. Sir Kay and I looked at each other curiously, and then silently we agreed to investigate. It didn't take long. As we topped the gentle rise before the border, they came into view. There were 4 of them on horseback, and another 2 on foot, handling the dogs. They were armed, of course. One didn't wander the hinterlands without an argument at hand, and at least one of them wore the raiment of a noble. He was a young snot of 16 or so, sandy hair, broad face, a belly a merchant would envy, and a noble sneer on his wide mouth. The other 3 horsemen were deferent to him, and decidedly his social inferiors. One bore a hawk on his arm. "We've lost the scent, my lord," one of the kennel masters said, as the hounds had changed course to investigate our horses. "Damn!" exploded the boy angrily. "We were so close!" "Might I ask what you were close to finding?" I asked politely as we approached. We made no move toward a weapon, and neither did they.
"You," the boy said, whirling his head towards me angrily. "You have ruined a hunt. Who is your master?"
he demanded imperiously.
"I shall have you beaten for your disturbance."
"I believe introductions are in order," Sir Kay said after a moment's pause. "You are.
I am Sir Ganulan, son of Sir Gimble, Lord of West Flaria," he responded, fire in his eyes.
"And I am in the middle of a hunt, damn you."
"You are in the middle of a hunt, perhaps," I agreed, "but you are no longer in West Flaria. Welcome to Sevendor."
"What matters that?" he said scornfully. "Sir Arental knows who my father is. If he has wits about him today, he would give me leave. Though we in West Flaria don't need his leave. We take what we want from Sevendor. Now apologize, Charl, and perhaps I'll spare you the lash for your insolence."
Sir Kay and I shared a laugh about this stripling threatening us. True, we wore our swords under our cloaks. It was still winter, after all, and there was little about our cloaks to suggest our station in life. But he should have realized that peasants rarely go upon horseback. "Your information is out of date, I'm afraid," I said at last. "Sir Arental has been discharged from his duty by a new lord. He no longer rules in Sevendor."
"So?" he said, sneering. "About time that stinking old sot got the sack. That doesn't change anything, though. West Flaria takes what it wants from Sevendor, and when this new lord arrives, he can take it up with my father if he doesn't like it."
"The new lord has indeed arrived," I said slowly and deliberately, "and he has ruled that no one shall traverse his domain without his leave."
"Well, we are in the domain of Brestal Vale, not Sevendor Vale, rightfully taken in conquest. My father gifted it to me on my 12th birthday."
"Yet it was not his to give," I replied calmly, "and it is not his to hold, or yours.
The Lord of Sevendor has decreed no one shall ride in his lands without his leave, and you do not have his leave.
And how is he to enforce such a ruling?
The boy scoffed. The other men laughed with him. Idiots.
With the likes of you?
You, Sir Ganulan, I began slowly, are a rude and impetuous boy, knowingly trespassing on lands where you are not welcome. I will give you this one last opportunity to turn for your own lands without harm. Should you fail to avail yourself of that opportunity, then you will bear the consequences.
I will bear the consequences,
he laughed, feigning shock.
It is you who shall bear them, churl. Give me your name before I take your insolent head.
He whipped out his sword in one practiced motion. I give him credit for style, but not much else. I didn't touch my mage blade, but Sir Kay and I did throw back our cloaks in readiness, revealing we were armed. My name? I am Sire Minelan, Mage Lord of Sevendor. I pronounced, my master is Duke Rad of Castal, and even that is open to debate. In my own name, I give you one final opportunity to retreat from my lands before I treat you to my justice. It took the young scamp a moment to realize what he had done, insulted a lord in his own lands, and the look of anger changed at once to one of confusion and fear on his fat face. But he was used to being the heir in a small country, and he expected deference, not defiance. He reminded me of a number of noble prigs from my time at the academy, the ones who somehow thought commoners and the nobility were separate species. I never liked them much. I wasn't getting a friendly feeling about Ganulan, either.
You dare threaten me?
He laughed. The others joined in, but not nearly as readily or as loud as before, more aware of the danger they were in. One actually grabbed Ganulan's sword arm and whispered harshly to him, but the young idiot shook him off.
Look at you, he sneered. If you're a lord, I'm a goatherd.
My eyes narrowed, and I could feel an involuntary surge of emotion matched with a surge of energy from the witch sphere. I calmed myself. No need to destroy the boy. Instead, I focused my attention on his sword, quivering in the morning gloom. Making it limp, like I had Sir Erenthal's, would have been a passable trick on one of his lackeys, but I didn't think it would have much effect on this hellion. No, I wanted a more enduring humiliation for him. Instead of simply loosening the bonds in his blade in one region, I took more active control of the atomi within the entire length, and manipulated them until his blade was bent and tangled like overrisen bread. It was useless as a weapon now. He stared at it in disbelief as it wriggled and then was still, and then he dropped it like it was hot. He looked up at me in shock. I warned you, I said evenly. Now get moving, or I'll deal with you as lord, and not just as your better.
This is war, he shouted. If you are a lord, you have brought down destruction on your house, churl.
Take him home and have his nappies changed by his nurse. I think he's cranky. I snorted to his companions, one of whom was brave or stupid enough to guffaw, briefly. I raised my hand, extended a tendril of force, and the boy's sword flew to me. And tell his father that he can have his toy back when he apologizes to me. Oh, and if I catch you on my land again unbidden, Sir Ganulan, you will be treated like a commoner.
War! This is war!
He bellowed, as his frightened companions led him back over the border. We didn't move until he and his men and his hounds were completely gone out of our hearing.
I think that went well, Sir Kay finally said when they were gone.
Not exactly the way I wanted to introduce myself to the neighbours, I sighed, but I suppose it was inevitable. I looked at the blade. It was an antique, clearly a treasured heirloom, even if it wasn't the best weapon, even before I cursed it. The sort of thing you give a new made knight before he earned a proper fighting blade, or an accessory for a peaceful man to adorn his hip while he managed his estates. But the gilt and the two small jewels on the guard told me it had value. He would be back for it, maybe even with some sort of army. Personally, I figured that his father would punish him for his error, That's what I would have done. But then again, I was raised by respectful commoners, not by arrogant, petty nobles.
I was actually serious. That did go well, Mage Lord,
Sir Kay insisted. This land has been so poorly managed for so long that it was inevitable that we would come into conflict with them over their presumptive use. I anticipated something a bit bloodier. As it was, you handled yourself with calm and restraint. You didn't kill the boy, didn't imprison him, and didn't do more than send him and his friends on their way. Less one sword, and with a little humility, perhaps. It could have gone much worse, and now you have a proper pretext to reclaim the Brestal Vale.
But no proper force to do so, I pointed out, nor one to defend against a retributive force.
Ah, but you do have one underway, he reminded me. Nearly 2,000 Bovali, by Yule, and your apprentices. That is less than 2 weeks. And yet my new enemy could move well before then, and have my Bovali arrive to a devastated vale.
Sir Kay shook his head.
Nay, my lord, it occurs to me that Sire Ganulan could not make more than a token sortie against us ere they arrive. It would take weeks for him to call his banners in the midst of winter. We risk at most a raid, one which must come through this pass by necessity, which makes defense against it a simple exercise. We need only be prepared and vigilant against the attack, and we can rebuff it. By the time a more resolute argument is prepared against us, we shall be reinforced and resupplied.
If you say so, I answered doubtfully.
I just hope he was being brash when he spoke of war. I haven't been here 2 moons yet, and already I'm getting involved in another war.
People will talk.
I don't think his father will be anxious to defend his son's rash behavior, when he clearly is in the wrong. But then that depends on what kind of knight he is. If he does, well, we shall have to face him. There wasn't a trace of fear or reluctance in his voice. I was impressed by his bravery. But then I couldn't imagine any mere human army being worse than what the Bovali had faced. I remember watching Sir Kay and his knights gazing out over the castle walls at 100,000 black, furry, goblin faces, prepared to fight every one of them to the death. Compared to that, this lordling had maybe 100, 150 men, thrice that if he levied his peasants.
Let them come, I agreed cheerfully. We could use the practice, I suppose.
Sire Kay grinned. Perhaps we could, Mage Lord, he said, and turned towards the road again. I tucked the sword into my saddle. It would make a good conversation piece for my hall.